And thank you folks for being here tonight. It's always good to have people in chairs. I want to share with you some thoughts tonight that I've had. I was reading through in the New Testament and a verse that particularly struck me, and I got thinking about it and about how it might affect all of us. The verse that I was reading was in Matthew 6. Now, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching his people. He's teaching his disciples. He's actually teaching them about the kingdom of God. And in verse 33 of Matthew 6, Jesus made a statement that is very familiar to you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the things that occurred in chapter 5 and the early part of chapter 6, all of them. If we will seek first the kingdom of God, then God has a whole wheelbarrow full of blessings he wants to pour out in our lives. And sometimes we get so sidetracked that the verse is actually in the imperative mood. That means that it is a command. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's not a recommendation. It's a command. And it's something that we need to actually take seriously and apply to our lives. And it's going to be very difficult. You know why it's going to be difficult? Because we are temples of clay. You and I are temples of clay. I hate to tell you that. You know, you're not porcelain like you thought you were. It's plain old clay. And as such, we are so easily distracted. We let life get in our way. We let issues in life get in our way. And we sometimes forget to seek first the kingdom of God. You know, it's the principle that Christian life is founded upon once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's also the foundation for the life that we are to build and have for our Lord Jesus Christ. Not to obey this command is actually sin. I was talking to the Lord the other day, thinking, well, thank you, Lord, for helping me not sin. And oops. A lot of times we think, well, we're getting through the day without messing up too badly. We're doing what the Lord wants us to do. And then we read some portion of Scripture like this, says, seek ye first. And it's important that we do that. It's expected. It's not anything unnatural. Excuse me. My wife put my arm behind my back this afternoon and forced me to eat some watermelon, and it just seems to have affected my voice. It's your fault, baby. Isn't it great you got somebody else to blame things on? Real blessing from the Lord, okay? Let's take this verse in context, because it is important that we see how God wants to use this verse in our lives, and he really does. He really wants to use this verse in life. And this, as I said, is a command. Let's back up a little bit. This was in Matthew 6:33, but I want to back up to verse 25 so we can see what Jesus was saying as he gave this command to his disciples. Beginning at verse 25, it says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And then the verse we want to look at, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't want a show of hands. But have any of you already decided what you're going to have to eat tomorrow? If you already thought about, you know, well, I'm going to have this for breakfast, or we're going to have this for lunch, or I'm going to wear these clothes. I think I'll put on these clothes. Now, if we take this verse in context, it says we're not supposed to do that. And you know what? Every night before I go to bed, I lay out my clothes. And I open the refrigerator door to see what's in there that I might eat for breakfast. Folks, I'm a temple of clay. I am. And so when God says, seek ye first, that is really what he means. That instead of thinking of my breakfast or what I'm going to wear, I should be thinking about what I can accomplish for the Lord tomorrow. And maybe what's left of today yet. But like maybe some of you, I hope somebody's in this with me. I am thinking about what I'm going to eat tomorrow. And I'm thinking about what I'm going to wear. I already told my wife what I was going to wear tomorrow. I forgot this was in there. And I don't want to hear anybody say, Pastor, practice what you preach. Jesus was very serious when he gave this instruction to his disciples. And this is one of the reasons that why we are not perfect people. Because we live in this temple of clay, and we take care of this temple of clay the best we can, and sometimes better than we should. Can 10 verses, that's what we have just read, with 10 verses, can 10 verses expose the secrets of a joy-filled life? An abundant life. Can 10 verses supply the means of being successful in the sight of God? Can the principles in these particular 10 verses mold our lives so that we are in a right relationship with God all of the time? Can they? They can. The problem is we don't always practice them. I don't. Why should I expect all of you to be something that I am not? We're human. We're going to do these things. Why did Jesus, now how did Jesus know we'd be thinking about this kind of stuff? Because he came and took on a human body. In order, he already knew. He had the same attributes of God. And this is hard for us to understand. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand. Maybe you understand it. But it's hard for me to understand. He already had a knowledge. He had all knowledge. He was omniscient. He was just like God, the Father. Omniscient. He knew everything. He knew how human beings would respond. And yet he came and took on a human body just to prove that's not the way we have to respond. We don't have to respond that way. And there are people out there who seem to put the kingdom of God first. And you've got to understand that the kingdom of heaven will not be here on earth. The kingdom of God that he's talking about is the millennial reign of Christ on this earth for 1,000 years at the end of the tribulation. One of the most prominent reasons that we sometimes don't seem to have what we think we need is that we stop living by faith. Do you think that God would lie to you? No, never. And yet, he has said he will provide everything that you need. He'll provide all the food you need. He'll provide all the clothing you need. So why do we bother to go shopping? You don't think he can deliver to your front door? You know why we go shopping? Do you know why we go shopping? Because we don't believe that God can. But he can. He can. He can deliver it to your front door. There was a time, I'm going to go back and I'm going to just share with you how God, we talked about God's love this morning. How much God loves you, how much he loves all of us. There was a time right after Connie and I got married, I was an airman third in the Air Force. I got $64 a month, or $64 twice a month. That was it. $128 a month, airman third, early 60s. We got down, we had an apartment, we were renting an apartment, and we got down to no money. And we had a bag of rice. And the fella out back worked at the commissary on base, and he brought us a pack of bacon. So we fried some bacon and mixed it with the rice, and that's what we had for dinner that night. And we went ahead and ate dinner. And I was thinking in my mind, okay, God, I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. Now, I was talking to God because I couldn't do anything beyond what I'd already done. And neither can you in most cases when you're in that kind of a situation or kind of a bind. And after we got done with supper, there was a knock at the door. We had started attending a little bitty church. I don't know, what was there, 8-10 people? The pianist was not like Jane. He had played in a bar, and he was still playing like he played in a bar. And it was the pastor from that little church, and he had 2 bags of groceries. Can God deliver to your front door? He sure can. Because he delivered ours. And so I know he can. But we still go shopping once a week. Because God has said, let all things be done decently and in order. And that's part of it. He expects us. When he provides the means, he expects us to use them for the purpose he provides them. And shopping is part of that. So we're not supposed to stop shopping, people, okay? I'm just telling you, when you run out, God will provide. He will. You might not know how, you might not imagine how, but God will provide. And when we run out of stuff, it's because we have stopped exercising faith in our Heavenly Father. And we are relying on ourselves, we are looking to ourselves to provide. And God has to get our attention to tell us, you can't do it. I can. We're not living by faith, we're living by sight when we take our eyes off from Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. God has promised, he promised right here, don't take any thought for it, I'll take care of it, I'll provide for it. When's the last time that the world ever kept a promise to you? When's the last time that the world ever provided for you? Never. Never. And yet we want to put our eyes on the world. We want to look at things of the world, and we want to get wrapped up in the world and the things of the world. And we're taking our eyes off from Jesus. And there's that command, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you're looking for the perfect relationship with God, you won't find it by sight. You'll have to do it by faith. Only then can he provide for you, because that's what he has promised to do. Yes, you'll have to go to the store to buy food, but you will also have the money to pay for it. And as you go to the store, you may see someone that you can be an unexpected blessing to by stepping up and saying, here, let me buy this for you. And you know what? It may be a sacrifice to do that, but God's not going to let you go without. God's going to use you. And who knows what kind of a blessing that might be to that individual. Remember, verse 33 is a command. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if this requires for us, and this is what we need, this is what I want to share with you tonight, this requires something from us in order to do that. First of all, we have to stop. Stop operating in our own strength and our own wisdom. We have to stop. And then we have to think. Now, for people like myself, it's a little painful to do that, but I'll get over it. So will you. But we have to stop what we're doing. We have to think about seeking first the kingdom of God, and then we have to, and this is the hard one, we have to change. We have to change. We have to change the way we do things. We have to stop living by sight and living by trusting God and living by faith. And most of us don't have what it takes to do on our own We don't have the intestinal fortitude that it takes. So we need God's intervention in our lives to make it possible for us to do this. God will never command for you to do something that He will not help you to do. Most people are so busy, they don't have any time to think about God. Even here at the church, I'm working on a message, I'm trying to put it together. And now this is for God, this is for His service, this is to accomplish His purpose, but I'm thinking of the message and I'm not thinking about God. And so as I began to think about this verse, verse 33 of Matthew 6, seek ye first, and that is not what I have been doing. And I don't know how many of you, as you think about this, as you talk to God about it, as you talk to the Holy Spirit within you about it, as you talk to Jesus about it, is it going to require you to stop, to think, and to change? And in all likelihood, it probably is. I wish this were a perfect world. But it's not. And our first thoughts are not necessarily about the kingdom of God. We might think about getting ready for the day and whatever that might entail, what clothes we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, what we're going to have to do that day, what the day's activity is going to involve. Is that thinking first about the kingdom of God? No, it's not. We need to be talking to God from the time we open our eyes in the morning and when we put our feet on the floor and asking Him to show us what it is He wants for that day for you and I. And it may not be what we planned. And that's the hard part, because we feel like we have responsibilities to other people. I need to get up and cook breakfast for my wife. Now, she cooks breakfast part of the time, and I cook breakfast part of the time. But I feel like I have a responsibility to cook breakfast for her. I'm not thinking about the kingdom of God. I don't want her to get mad at me. She's mean when she's mad. It means change. It means change. And it's something that we all need to do. And so it may take some time to pray for the people we know. But while we're doing that, we're talking to God. And then we may want to spend some time in the Word first thing in the morning before we get up and get active. Because normally if we get up and get active, we don't find any time the rest of the day, unless it's at night when you try and read the Bible and you keep doing this number. See, I've done the same thing. And so we need to think about what the Word says. The difficulty, if you want to call it that, is that we have not made plans to seek the kingdom of God as such. That's the difficulty. We have our own seeking that we're doing in life. We have our own goals. We have our own accomplishments that we want to be able to achieve. And so a lot of our time is spent plotting. We call it planning, but sometimes it's plotting. How are we going to accomplish this? And God is telling us, seek first my kingdom. And I'll give you all that stuff. I'll make sure you have all you need. And so as you get up in the morning, Talk to the one who lives in your soul. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Ask him, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do today? And then listen. Now, he's not going to roar at you like a lion. There's going to be that still small voice, that tweaking of your heart. I want to accomplish this for God today. I want to witness to one person. I want to witness to a particular person. I want to tell them about Jesus and how good he is. And most of the time in your and my life, just being very candid and honest about it, most of the time in our lives, we let circumstances dictate what we're going to do that day. We do. It's not God. It's circumstances. Now, he can control circumstances, but we're looking at the circumstances. We're looking with our eyes and not our heart in faith. And that is a different, it's a shift in position. It used to be in this nation 240 years ago that men were thinking of how they could please God as they built a new nation. God was prominent. The Word of God was prominent. It was in everything that got done. They put it on the buildings. And slowly but surely, we all as human beings got involved in living our lives our way. And we stopped seeking first the kingdom of God. This nation will not survive if we don't start seeking the first, the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, we've got to get the Bible back into our society. There are several things that need to be done, and as a church, we need to be doing all we can to accomplish those things. We need to be able to get prayer back in the public. We need to be able to get the Word of God out there in front of the public. And we did a little bit with our sign. Actually, we did quite a bit of it with our sign. And so once we get that fixed, we'll do it again. But in the meantime, we need to be seeking first the kingdom of God. We let circumstance, I said we let circumstance dictate what we're doing. And give you an example. You get up in the morning and you're getting ready to go to work and you're in front of the mirror and you're doing whatever you have to do in the morning. Look for somebody else's face to put on or something. And you say, wow, that person in the mirror needs a haircut. And so, what do we schedule for that day? Okay, let's let God cut our hair. No, that's not what we do. We say, I've got to call the barber or beauty salon or Great Clips this morning at 10 o'clock so that I can get my hair cut, because this is the only chance I've got today. You know, if we were seeking first the kingdom of God, a haircut is necessary, especially some of you ladies think it's very necessary. As long as I can see, I can, you know, my hair's okay. Of course, I don't have that much anymore. But if we were seeking the kingdom of God first, he would provide time for that haircut when it was appropriate. So, I can promise you by the word of God, because of what Jesus told us in this passage here in Matthew 6, I can promise you that you will never be out of clothes. Now, some of the clothes that they're selling in the stores today, you're out of them before you ever buy them. Jeans with no legs or holes that big, you know. Why do people, I have no idea. Why do people go out and buy jeans that look like they're rags? And they pay a phenomenal price for them. What? Poor and ragged? Well, folks, as far as I know, there's not a hole in my pants anywhere. And I think that's the way God wants me to dress. I think that's the way He wants all of us to dress. Because we are representing Him in everything we do. So I can promise you, if you seek first the kingdom of God, you will not run out of food, your clothes will not be shabby, because God promised you that it would not happen. So let's measure our priorities. Now, if you didn't feel quite right physically, but you had a responsibility to go to work, you know, you don't really feel sick, you just don't feel good. Would you go to work? Many of us would. You get up on Sunday morning and you don't feel quite right physically. Would you go to church? Well, no, I'm going to sleep in this morning. That's the way people do. Priorities. That's what we're talking about, is priorities. What are our priorities? And the answers to those questions that I ask would determine where your priorities are. Are they with you? Are they with God? Or are they with society? Now, I know people that cannot attend church because they can't see to drive at night, or because their dog is having puppies. Yeah, I've had people tell me, oh, I can't come to church tonight. My dog's supposed to have puppies. What can they do to help? The dog can take care of it. I grew up on a farm. When it was time for a cow to have a calf, the cow had the calf and it took care of it. I didn't have to be there. You know, common sense requires consideration and reflection with regard to the situation we find ourselves in. But we are told that we are not to fret or worry. We're to trust God to have a solution for us. Now, it is that anxious doubt that springs from lack of faith. That anxious doubt springs from lack of faith. We don't believe God can take care of the situation. We must refer to the end of chapter 14 in Romans for the right answer. Romans 14, 22 and 23, Paul is talking about eating things that have been sacrificed to idols and tempting our weaker brothers to go into sin by thinking it's okay to celebrate idol worship and participate in it. And then when he gets to the end of the chapter, verses 22 and 23, he says this, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I know none of you have ever done this. None of you have probably ever gone ahead and done something you weren't sure of, right? You know, there's a very easy solution to keeping these verses. If in doubt, don't. If in doubt, don't. If there's a question as to whether or not you should do this, any question in your mind, in your heart, it's probably the Holy Spirit. And if you are in doubt, don't. There are many times my wife tells me that she wants to go look for a particular object, whatever it might be. And so we plan that maybe tomorrow or Thursday afternoon we'll go and look. And Thursday afternoon comes and she'll come to me and say, you know, I don't feel like we should go. I think we shouldn't go look. Doubt. If in doubt, don't. Doubt is the Holy Spirit's way of telling you that you're about to make a mistake or that the timing is wrong according to God's will. There are times when God says, sure, go ahead and do this. I shared with you this morning how we finally went shoe shopping. We've been thinking about shoe shopping, say that real quick 10 times, for months, but we just never felt led to go. And yesterday was a day we were felt led to go, and yesterday was a day where those shoes were half off, and then that woman was there to give us another 20% discount. If we'd have gone a day earlier, that wouldn't have happened. That sale was for one day. And we didn't know. We just went. If in doubt, don't. But listen to the Holy Spirit. Let him lead you as to where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do that day, that time. There may be times when you need to go visit somebody. Or you need to pick up the telephone and call someone. Just a phone call. Letting them know you're caring for them. You're interested in their life. Or maybe, heaven forbid, this is awful, you might want to sit down and write a letter. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's on a piece of paper like this, and it has writing on it, and it's got a signature at the bottom, and you put it in an envelope, and if you can find one, you put a stamp on it. And usually by the time you get the letter written, you're all out of stamps. So, you know, you got to go to the post office to get more stamps. God wants to use each one of you. And he has told us the secret of how to do this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, there's been several times in my experience when I've had to come to a complete stop and just sit and wait for God to tell me what he wanted to do. We're sort of an instant society. We want it now. Mm-hmm. I want patience. I want it right now. And so we're sort of an instant society, and it's hard for us to be still and know that I am God. And that's what he tells us. We're not going to know when we're out there running around, when we're out there, you know, being busy. We're not going to know what God wants, because we are too involved. We can't hear that still small voice. The lawnmower is too loud. How many people mow grass on Sunday? None of us, but you're here. But I'll bet you got neighbors that mow grass on Sunday because it's the only day they've got to mow. But that's also the only day that they might have God speak to them, and they don't want to hear that. You know, even in this message preparation for tonight, there were times that I had to stop what I was doing and wait for the Holy Spirit to lead me to the next paragraph. And if we plan our life that way, if we plan our life out of what God might want, it's going to change you. Stop, think, change. And that's a normal routine. So to put things in perspective, we're running out of time tonight. We have to turn to the Old Testament and something that God told Isaiah. It's in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. And folks, this is going to probably seem simple. God told Isaiah, because he was worrying, he was fussing, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Pick it up in the morning. Read it. May not make sense right then. You may wonder, well, why do I care who begat who so-and-so? Who begat so-and-so? Who begat so-and-so? There are parts of the Old Testament that we tend to skip over. I do too. Because I can't remember names. And so it doesn't matter to me who begat who. And if I did remember who begat who, I couldn't pronounce his name anyway. Most of the time. But in our reading of the Word, looking at what God is trying to tell us, listening to the Holy Spirit, God might speak to us. He might communicate with us what he wants from us to do as far as seeking first the kingdom of God. If we're going to live by faith, we're going to have to keep this concept in front of our minds. It's when we forget the fact that we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God, not our own kingdom. We're going to have to condition ourselves to be fully obedient to the Word of God. And right now, most of us aren't. But God will make it possible for each of us as we try and live by faith as we try and please Him. God wants to be a part of our life. And if we're putting Him first, He will be. He will be. His word in our hearts and minds will influence how we approach life. And His word, He has told us in Isaiah, will accomplish what He sent it forth to do. He has sent His word out for each one of us to accomplish something in our lives. We got God's promise on it. So I'm not going to think about whether I've got some bacon in the refrigerator and some eggs for breakfast tomorrow morning. I'm going to get up and I'm going to ask God, what do you want me to do today? And I'm going to try and do it. So how do we rearrange our priorities? Well, to make them line up with God's priorities, God wants you to know His will for you. God wants you to know His will for you. It is not a secret. It is not something hidden out there in the universe. It's right here in His word. It is right here in your heart as the Holy Spirit lives there and will tell you if you will let Him. Now, I know there's a time when we are to be still and know that He is God. That does not mean that we sit there all day waiting for a voice. God will use circumstance in some of our lives, to direct us to where He wants us to be. He will. And He will use your sense of responsibility to put you where He needs you to be. Hear that? Needs you to be. So, we just need to be aware of the fact that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, and He will take care of all these other things. You will never be successful in life as God wants you to be until you get your priorities properly arranged. None of us are smart enough to figure it out by ourselves. Now, the devil may trick you into thinking that you can figure it out by yourself, but your thoughts are not what God's thoughts are. Your thoughts are not as high as God's thoughts. Your ways are not God's ways. So when you begin your day and you sit up on the side of the bed tomorrow morning, try asking God what He wants from you for the day. Tomorrow morning, you sit up, put your feet on the floor. Okay, God, what do you want today? And then close your mouth and listen. And see what the Holy Spirit has to say. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Father, we are so grateful that You take care of us. We are so grateful that You have loved us, that You have provided for us, and Father, that You want to communicate with us, that You want us to communicate with You. You've sent Your Holy Spirit. Help us to hear His still small voice. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross that we might not be responsible for our sins, and that they're paid for so that we can communicate with You, and we can communicate with Jesus, and we can communicate with the Holy Spirit, that our sins will not be interfering in our prayer time. Hear our prayers, Father. Answer our prayers. Use us to accomplish Your will. Help us to seek first Your kingdom. And Father, use us, that you be glorified, that your will be accomplished, and we will praise you because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.